Well, welcome. Welcome to the service this morning. And welcome to a time of missions emphasis. Our goal this morning is to encourage every person in this room to do his part or her part in bringing Jesus to our world. And I want to challenge each one of you to turn the autopilot off. You know, I learned one thing this week. Actually, no, I learned a number of things this week, but one thing I'm going to share. As a missions team, it's our responsibility to have a missions service every fifth Sunday. And this past Monday evening, I realized that today is the fifth Sunday, and there's nothing planned. So what I learned is, don't ask Pastor Doug for advice, because that's why I'm here this morning. So I recognize this morning that I'm preaching to the choir. I'm in a building full of people that serve well, and they have a deep passion about ministry. So today I would like each one of us just to reflect on our own lives. Am I doing what God wants? Are you doing what God wants? I'm not going to answer these questions. In fact, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Later on, we also want to recognize some of the support teams that are doing the behind-the-scenes work of supporting our missionaries. And I want to take this time to thank each one of you for the financial support that you give to the missionaries through the Missions Faith Giving. You're very generous, and we thank you for that. So, why did you come to church today? I'm going to ask for a response. But before you answer that question, I want you to think about one thing. I learned recently that when you're asked a question, your brain takes about 1 second to answer it truthfully, and then you take 1 to 5 minutes to come to the situation. So when I'm asking these questions this morning, I want you to respond truthfully. And we're not going to talk a lot about these questions, and they're not gotcha questions either. But they're questions that I want you to answer in your mind if you're brave enough publicly, and think about it. Go home and think about it. So why did you come to church today? Because it's what you do. What you do. Very good. Fellowship. You're supposed to teach Sunday school. Excellent. That would fall in the category of habit. Anyone else? You're glad you're here. Someone else back here? Pardon? Worship. They're all very good. I broke it down into three different sections or titles. And one is, I believe we come to honor our Lord Jesus Christ and bring Him glory. The second one is, we come to encourage and be encouraged. And I'll go on a limb here, and I believe that's the most important one. But we're not going to spend any time on that. And then the third one is habit. It's just what you do. It's what mom and dad told you to do. And I'm sure in a group this size that there are people here this morning that you're here just because you have to be here. And that's fine. But think about that. So You know, it's very easy to live on autopilot. It's very comfortable, actually. But I'd like us to imagine that we're in an airplane, and we've been flying for quite some time, and the plane has been on autopilot, because that's what planes do when they're high up in the sky and there's no turbulence and everything is just fine. But we're coming in for a landing. And the last I checked, autopilot and landings don't work too well together. So I talked a little bit about missions. We're talking about missions. So what is missions? When you think of the word missions, what do you think of? Mark Owyler, what do you think of missions?
Bald Eagle.
Bald Eagle. Anyone else?
Everyone's responsibility.
Wow.
Just developing relationships.
Developing relationships. What was that again? Rocking babies in the NICU. Some more. Fulfilling God's vision. It's all very good. Excellent answers. And I even woke Mark up. So, these are all really good answers. So let's take it a little closer home. So let's think about Kent's. And they went on the mission field here a year and a half ago. Kent was a farmer. And for those of you that are farmers, you understand, but you don't take farming out of your blood. If you're not a farmer, it's a little bit like Dallas not hunting. So why do you think Kent went on the mission field? Like, why would you leave what you love and what you're comfortable with? Anyone?
He was called.
Sacrifice.
He cared about people.
Very good. You know, building on what Vernon said, he cared about people. You know, it feels really good when people care about me. And it's very fulfilling when I care about people, when I care about other people. So now, just a little closer home again. For those of you that serve at Life Club, why do you go? Why do you spend an evening a week to go spend some time with the city kids? Some of you drive 30 minutes. What a waste of gas and time. Why do you do that? Anyone? Investment is worth the reward. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I believe I have lots to offer the gospel, and I believe that life on life makes a difference.
Excellent. You believe you have lots to offer. Everyone in this room has a lot to offer. Anyone else?
I think it's a lot of fun.
You think it's a lot of fun? That's an excellent answer. Because life is not drudgery. If it's drudgery, there's something wrong. Anyone else?
I've been given a lot, so I can give back.
You've been given a lot, so you're giving back.
I love hearing them recite Bible verses back to me that they learned inspired.
You love hearing them recite Bible verses back to you. Wow. That's good. Okay, I have one more set of questions I'm going to ask. And this, I'm stepping on my toes as much as anyone. But again, these questions are not gotcha questions. I just want you to think through, and I'm not saying that when I ask these questions that what I'm talking about is wrong. It's not wrong. But I want to think myself, and I want each one of you to think about why we do the things we do. So, why do you play baseball? Why do you go hunting? Why do you work extra hours, overtime? Why do you go out for tea with your girlfriends? Why do you buy a new truck or house or go out to eat? Well, the list goes on and on. Galen, why do you hunt? You really enjoy it. Vernon, why do you play hockey?
Greatest sport around.
Greatest sport. That's not a good answer. Danny, why do you play baseball? Because you enjoy it. Excellent answers. Anyone else? Chris, why do you play baseball?
I enjoy it. It's something to make friendships.
You enjoy it? It's something to make friendships. Anyone else? Why do you do these things? You like spending time with your dad and being in the woods. Very good. You enjoy going out to eat because the connection provides with the people you do that with. Very good. Is that your answer or her answer? Your answer. Anyone else? What did he say? He said, what did you say? Okay, his wife likes going out to eat because she doesn't have to cook. These are all very good answers, and I want you to think about this in the coming weeks. Why do you do the things you do? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. There's a couple of verses there I'd like to spend some time on. Matthew chapter 25 there's a lot in this chapter. But I'm going to jump right in the middle and just pick out a couple verses. I'm going to start reading verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. And this is the parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And then going down to verse 24, he also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to every one who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a very grim story when you read it and think about it. And it really hits home when I think about it that I believe every person in this room has 10 talents. They're all different talents, but he has 10 talents. And I also believe in our culture, it's very easy for us to act like the person with 1 talent. And to emphasize where I'm going with this, I'd like to share two stories with you that really hit home to me. And the one Irvin sent, I think, to a number of people about Pastor John at the Ananias house. And I'll read part of this story. And this is Pastor John. He was in our church here this past summer. God in the Muslim tent. I, and this is John, was in a camp in Syria, and I went to visit one of the workers during the holidays last month. So I'm thinking this would have been in December. As we visited this tent, I went with the worker and saw he had a Bible with him. And I was afraid because there was a big gathering of men sitting during the holidays, celebrating and visiting each other. He sat, and I, and this is John saying this, was praying, I hope he doesn't share the gospel, because we are in a tent. We are among Muslims, Sunni and Shiite. An intense moment. All these men sitting and gathering, and there are women as well sitting. You know, I can connect with stories like this, because I've considered John, Pastor John, a giant. And here he is honestly saying he's scared. He was praying. It goes on, all of a sudden he began to share the gospel. There was talk, a question and answer. And he was strategically answering and answering. One angry man walked out, and as soon as this angry man walked out, the Lord began to move. One woman stood up and said, I saw Jesus in a dream in the midst of that group. And then another woman, and keep in mind this is in a Muslim setting, and women are speaking in a group of men. And so we began in just 2 hours of time hearing about three different stories of people seeing Jesus in dreams and visions. And it was just the moment where we opened the gospel and people right there confessed Christ. You know, I believe if God would have answered Pastor John's prayer and his friend would not have carried the Bible into that setting, Pastor John would not have had this experience. But the people in that room would have still been saved because of their encounter with Jesus. So who missed out on the blessing? Or who would have missed out on the blessing? John would have. Now another example, and this gets a lot closer home. So many of you would know John and Sue Smucker and their son Damien. And the journey they've been on with him with cancer the last 2.5 years. And recently it seems like the cancer is coming back. And you all know when a cancer patient, when the cancer comes back the second time, it's not good. And what I'm going to read, John wrote Friday morning. And the timing of when he wrote it couldn't have been better. Because at that time, Katrina was in labor and it wasn't going very well. And I don't know why I was praying, and I don't know why I went to Facebook. And right there at the top of my feed, here's what John wrote. He had just posted a couple seconds before. Tonight, this was Wednesday night. Tonight, as we are driving to the appliance store after our fridge gave out, I was asking God, why did the fridge go out at a time like this? This is one of the last things we wanted to do, but had to as things were thawing. We picked up the fridge and went to pay. And they said, it's paid for. I said, what? And they repeated, it's paid for. And as I was walking out the store, the tears just rolled. I think God was saying, it's paid for. He paid for our sins. It's not our life, but his. It was a great reminder that God is saying, I got you covered. I got this. I'd like to believe that everyone in that appliance store that night had tears in their eyes. Because, folks, that is Christianity. That is missions. And that is what each one of us are called to do. We're called to reach out and be a friend. Now, I'll be really honest with you. It's easier to reach out to someone like John and Suze because I know them. But I'd like to challenge each one of you and challenge myself to not only reach out to the people I know, but reach out to the people I don't know, to my next door neighbor, to the person you meet on the street. You know, our world is crying out for people to do just what happened to John and Sue Smucker. And it seems like the last couple of weeks has only intensified. That people are just crying out for something that's real. So my question to you is, will you bring Jesus to your neighbors this week? Now I'd like to switch gears, and Carl, if you could put the overhead up. I'd like to spend the rest of the morning in just a few updates. What you see behind me is some prayer requests from Jim and Ruthie Gockenauer. And then after I share this, then I ask Vernon to come up and share about, give us an update on Kent's. And then Jeff Garman, if you could give us an update on Lois Lapp. And Jeremy, where are you? Right there. Jeremy is going to give us a little report on a trip that him and some of his coworkers are going to California, is that right? Here in a few weeks. So you see the prayer request for Jim's. I would emphasize number 3 is probably the most important one. Doug and Diane were up with Jim and Ruthie here this past weekend, and Jim's role at FGS is changing the end of July. So they've got some big changes in their life, and just keep them in your prayers. The age that they're at, it can't be easy making big changes. So thank you for listening and caring, and don't forget to bring Jesus to your neighbors this week. Vernon.
You want to put that slide up there, Carl? Just wanted to mention, we're on a support team for Kent's. It's Danny and Sari, Merle and Karen, Dean and Luetta, and Darlene and I. And so I texted Danny or Kent and asked him for an update, and he sent me an epistle. So, when Carl has that, I'm just going to run over some things that Kent was updating, some things that they enjoy. He said his favorite part is the first time interview with families and kids, and showing a little slideshow of camp and introducing camp at Fair Play. And lots of variety in his day. He ends up talking on the phone sometimes for an hour and a half, depending on what's happening with the boys. There's one day last week, the support team got a text from Kent saying there's a couple boys that ran away. And so we stopped kind of where we were and prayed, and eventually they were found and came back. One of the boys, let's see what he says here. He was gone 4 or 5 hours, and then after dark, he heard some coyotes, and he thought he heard a panther, so kind of motivated him to return. Some things that are harder for Kent is the paperwork stuff, evaluations, summaries, intake summaries, the monthly reports that they have to do for camp, and I believe for the state as well. A couple of prayer requests, just for energy and wisdom for the staff themselves and the rest of the staff at the camp. And another one, Austin Fanning is a boy that's graduating, and he's asking us to pray for him as he heads home. He said he's fearful and anxious about going back to his community and school where he lit fires, did drugs, and got in a lot of trouble. And now going back and proving that he was different and making different choices. And then number three, they made a commitment, Kent's made a commitment to 3 years, and a year and a half is coming up here shortly, and they're going to need to make a decision about whether to extend that term or stick to it. So let's pray for them about that, what God's calling them to. I sent him a song. Since he's in the south, I thought it was probably warmer down there, so I sent him a song about winter. And so he sent me this. It's so cold this morning that the dog's water buckets are all frozen solid. It's 31 degrees. You know, if it doesn't warm up a little, we're just going to have to stay inside. So that's Kent. Yeah, so keep praying for them. I think they're really enjoying what they're doing. I can tell when I talk to Kent and hear him tell stories. He loves what he's doing. And I think their family has really fit in there well at Fair Play. So let's keep on praying for them. Thank you.
Some of yous might know Lois Lapp, and some of yous may not know her well at all. I'm going to quick give a little bit of a rundown of her life, because that is very interesting to hear about someone's past, and her past is very interesting. You think of someone that is serving in Northern in Canada, you think of Canada as lakes and moose and mosquitoes. Well, I can promise you she has a much bigger world vision than just that. Her dad actually started a mission in D.C., and so that's where she grew up, in Washington, D.C. And then she moved to Lancaster and graduated from Lancaster Mennonite High School. Then she moved back to D.C. and taught in a little Mennonite school. Then in 84 is when she first moved to Northern Youth Programs, and she taught staff children there as a teacher. And then she moved to Sioux Lookout, which is a Indian village. She also taught school in Round Lake. It was a First Nation school. It wasn't the missionary children. It was actually the Indian children there. Later, she was involved with domestics, a counseling center with NYP. Then, like in 99, she would have moved back. And she moved back to D.C., and she worked for in a group home for physically handicapped children. Now, you think of all the dynamics. I went from D.C. to NYP, to remote villages up in Canada, back down to D.C. working in a children's home. Think of all the dynamics of your responsibilities and living in cities versus out in the bush. It's just really amazing the wide range. And then she started college around 2000. Here in Lancaster. Well, she did some in D.C., but then she also went to HAC and Millersville, and she got a degree in education. Now, from the bush to handicapped children in D.C. to college. Then she went back to Canada with NYP again to teach in another school, a First Nation school. And then she went in, like, around 07, she went, okay, and then around, I should back up, around 2000 to 2005 is when she was here at Life Mennonite. For those who have more recently been here at church, she was here for, like, 5 years, so she got to, she was plugged in here, and this is her home church. And then she was involved, okay, so we talk about all the various aspects so far, but I didn't get into office work. Then she got into office work at headquarters. That was around 2007, working more on the literature side. NYP does a lot of literature where there's Bible correspondences. And then around 2009, she started schooling to get her degree in counseling. Now, she had got her some kind of degree in education before that. She had done teaching before that. So now she getting more involved with counseling. And then she around 2012, she started working at the counseling center at Northern Youth, where Native, like individuals or family would come, would fly in or drive in to the headquarters there and work come in there for counseling rather than her going around. And she'd also go out on the reservations and do follow-up also. So that was more recently. And then she also did a course here about 2 winters ago. She would have did a course at Faith Builders. So I'm just helping you introduce your mind to who is Lois Lapp. And just to get to know someone, you need to know a little bit about where they're coming from and what they've experienced. So now she's taking a sabbatical from Northern Youth Program. She thought about going to another foreign country, but she went with Destinations International to Canada again. She stayed in Canada but went to Toronto. That is where Enos and Carolyn Miller are. They've been in Canada. I think in my mind they've been in Canada all of my life. And the reason they chose that city is because there was no church among the First Nations people there, and it's a big city. It's one of the largest cities in Canada. And so Lois went and joined Enos and Carolyn there in Toronto, and she kind of has. Three things once a week. Her goal is to interact with, find the First Nations people in this big city, because that's what she would have. That's who she's targeting. There's two community centers specifically for First Nations people where they have classes and interaction, and so she goes there at least once a week. She also goes to a homeless shelter once a week to try to find First Nations people. And Enos and Carolyn also started a restaurant right there in the city. It's called T. Bananka. Where is this? T. and Bent. Bannock. Thank you. I knew I wasn't saying right. T. and Bannock. And that's a native food. So a common native food. Am I correct? It's a bread. The Bannock is a bread, correct? Yeah. And so that would draw in the First Nations people to that kind of restaurant. So her request is she has a lot of free time and she wants to use it wisely. So that would be her request, to know how to use her free time to reach out to First Nations and to win them to Christ, to specifically know how to win them to Christ. And also the goal of being there in Toronto of the whole team is to plant a church, because there is no church there, and so that's why she went there. So that would be guidance. The prayer request is guidance for each day, how to find the people that are seeking and searching, and how to build a church. That would be the summary of her prayer request. Thank you.
Yes, well, me and Ryan, along with John Rosanna and Caitlin and Emmy too, and Tim are all going to San Francisco. We'll be leaving this Saturday for a week. And it's with Defense Experts. The whole company is going, or most of the company, not all of it. So it's like 20, 25 people. And we'll be remodeling a mission house for YWAM. Many of you know Jason and Sarah Hurst. They own, or he owns Defense Experts. And he would have done some YWAM stuff before, and so he has a connection there in San Francisco. So we're just going to be remodeling the mission house. Outside of that, I don't really know what we're going to be doing. The guy was wondering, like, what all we can do. And Jason was like, oh, we can do anything. And then, like, well, as long as Tim is along, we can do anything. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm actually going to L.A. Afterwards on my own for a couple days to visit the church plant then, too. So, yeah, we'd really appreciate your prayers as we go that go there.
Well, it's been a loaded morning and exciting morning. A lot happening, and it's just good to be made aware again of that. And I especially appreciated Marilyn's message to each one of us. And my question that I was left with is, you know, am I fulfilling the mission, the purpose? We all have a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And am I accomplishing that? Am I working in that for His honor and glory? So, yeah, I was just really blessed with the message here this morning and the different updates. And so, yeah, we are excited to be Roseanne and myself, Caitlin, Emily, and numerous of the other employees from the Defense Experts to be headed to San Francisco next weekend on Saturday and being there for a week and learning more about the work there. And I'm excited for Caitlin and Emily. Have never been to a place like that, and to experience some street evangelism to the homeless on the streets there in San Francisco. So keep us in your prayers as you think of us. We're excited about that. Also thought I could maybe give a little bit of an update on Alex. He is, it's very easy to communicate with him, and we take advantage of that, and he seems to take even more advantage of that. So that's very good. Wasn't sure how it would go right at first couple weeks. It was a little like, I wonder how this will go, how much we'll hear. But sure enough, good connections are made, and we're hearing from him. Just got a call from him this morning, and he is really enjoying his time there. He's being stretched. He did some TESOL training, teaching English for a second language training, and he's being pushed in that, actually, I think a little more than he was expecting. So that's good. And he also talked about, he actually called me yesterday morning as well. And he, yeah, so he is staying in touch, but he was, I think he just needed to talk yesterday morning. He said he had the worst experience of his life the night before. Okay, so yesterday morning, there's a 12-hour difference. And yesterday morning, he had the worst experience of his life, but he made it through that. And so I think he just really wanted to talk about that. But he and he's with a friend of his, Anthony King. And then Alicia is there, and Tyler Esch, Lloyd and Mary Ellen Esch family. And a number of them had went up into a mountain to a village in the morning, and then some of them stayed, and Alex and Anthony came back in the dark. They were up in a mountain, and I, He didn't tell me all the details right away, but as I learned more, I started to understand a little bit why it was the worst experience of his life. Coming down off the mountain with his little motorcycle that they have as their means of transportation, he said the headlight on the motorcycle was only went out about 15 feet. He said a headlamp that he could have worn would have done a lot better than that little headlamp did. And they were navigating down off the mountain, switchbacks, and he was mainly navigating by following the guy in front of him. So he made it, but it's just good to hear that God's protecting them, and also that they're being pushed in some ways there while they're there. So continue to pray for him. He has 2 more weeks there in Chiang Mai to finish out his training, and then they head south to a city or province south, way in the southern tip of Thailand, where they'll be actually teaching English in the Muslim school there for the next several months. So thanks for your prayers for him. And is there anyone missing? Is there any other? I'm sure there's more people being involved in different things. Oh, yeah, I think maybe not missions, but I think, Mardell, you're leaving for EBI. And when do you leave for EBI? Tomorrow morning. So, Mardell, anyone else from the youth group going? Okay. Josh, yeah? You're back. Yeah, you're back from Africa. That's right. You were with Nelson for how many weeks?
2
weeks. Did you want to say anything?
I can
if you wish. If you want to say, tell us, fill us in on it. Sure.
Well, it's nice to be back, that's for sure. 2 weeks with Nelson. It's 1 week too many almost, but no, he hasn't changed that much, better or worse. Overall, though, it was a good experience. We had 4 youth from Canada, and then me and another girl from Lancaster area, and pretty much we did everything the youth group of 40 did, just with like us 6 and Lester Miller and Nelson and Sarah, and I feel like we got a lot done. Did a lot of good, I hope. We had one of the best things about Africa. I guess it's really like a spiritual boot camp. It's probably does more good for those who go than even the people there. It's really great. I really encourage people to go and get out of your comfort zone. But when things are a little bit different over there, like spiritual things, like they're a little bit more physical, and so you will get pushback from the devil, and like even though it's not pleasant, like it's really awesome to know that you're doing something and like he doesn't like it, and he's pushing back against the group and stuff like that. And so we prison ministries, village crusades, just anything and everything, seminar teaching forgiveness and leadership. Yeah, so a lot of good things. I'm glad to be back, though, where the water's clean and where we have first world nice stuff that we have here. But thank you.
Thanks, Josh, for sharing that. All right, for this morning to close, there were so many requests and needs that I'd actually like to just close with small prayer groups, gather in a group, a few people around you, and I'd like to cover these in some way, and I think as we all pray together this morning collectively that'll happen. But let's remember the missionaries, first of all, Kent and Lois, and also Jim's as they try to see what God's plan is for them moving forward here. And then let's remember Alex and Alicia is over there as well in Thailand. And Susan Brubaker at Camp Andrews. And then we have the needs, the physical needs, and the journeys of those people, Mackenzie, Jane, Lil. And let's also pray for Ellen as she continues her journey and the future there of her health. And is there anything else? Vern and Gina, yes. You'll be leaving not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, yes. And the safety of the new child there, yep. Be good. All right?
Mardell.
And Mardell, yes. So let's pray for those requests, and then when you're finished in your group, you can count yourselves dismissed.